Amen. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to read Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 11th verse. It's going to be further into what I'm going to be teaching, but I want to read this. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm going to talk tonight about the emblems of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Each one of them means something on what the Holy Spirit is to us and is to the church. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for what we feel here tonight. I pray, God, for your blessings. I pray for your anointing, God, to continually touch and minister in this place. Father, touch us with your glory. Minister here tonight, Lord. And God will never fail to worship and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. There's emblems or things that represent the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And I want to talk about them tonight since we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. First of all, there is fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
John said, truly, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I like that. He didn't say the Holy Ghost and ice, the Holy Ghost and water. He said the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Fire represents a few things. First of all, if you go to the next, first of all, fire represents refining fire. Anybody know what a refining fire is? Refining fire burns out impurities. Can somebody say amen? I am glad that the Holy Spirit is continually sanctifying me, convicting me. Oh, I don't think you're catching that. He is sanctifying me and convicting me of things in my life, making me what I need to be in Christ. In silver works, there is a man who cleans or purifies the silver. And how he does it is he melts it. So he needs extreme heat and extreme fire. I like it when the Holy Ghost gets extreme. Amen. I like it when he gets extreme because I know he's burning something out in my life that don't need to be there. Amen. See, some people don't like those Holy Ghost services. Some people don't like when the Holy Ghost just moves mightily into place because what happens is they begin to reveal things in their life and they don't want the things revealed in their lives. Well, I've come to say, God, if there's anything in my life that keeps me from your blessings, Lord, reveal it and then burn it out. Yeah. Amen. So it refines, but in the silverware, they heat up the silver and they heat it till it melts and the impurities burn up and raise to the top and then they scrape it off. And then what they do? They turn the fire up hotter. And then the impurities float to the top. Have you ever been in the service where the presence of the Lord is there and all of a sudden something comes up and you go, I need to forgive my brother. I shouldn't have watched that. I shouldn't have been gossip. Somebody say amen. The impurities is rising to the top. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. The impurities are rising to the top. That's why it is important for the Holy Spirit to have his way in a Pentecostal church, because God is purifying us. I said, God is purifying us and molding us and making us into what he wants us to be. And the man keeps doing it until he sees a perfect reflection of himself in the silver. You know what he's called? A sanctifier. That's his name. In silver works, he's called the sanctifier. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier? Amen. He is building and pulling out our impurities. So it is a refiner's fire. Secondly, it is a fire is a place of protection. Hey, do we have any campers? One or two with a tent? Not with a drive-in house. But they say that when you're camping out, or how many seen Westerns? You got to light that fire to keep the coyotes and the wolves away. Amen. In Africa, they light the fire to keep the lion and all of those things away. Amen. I almost said bears, but there's no bears in Africa. Reminds me of a story I read about faith. In the early part of the century, they said that for every wolf a person killed, they would get so much money, like $100 a wolf or something like that. Two guys went out to get wolves, and they fell asleep. The fire was burning. When they woke up, they saw all kinds of wolves encircled around them. One guy woke up the other and said, "Get up, we're rich." Amen. But the fire protects. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit protects? Don't you know that He keeps us safe? Don't you know that He is with us? Somebody say amen. The Holy Spirit is in us. He keeps us safe. Listen to me. There's many times that I know that I've said I've got to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit has quickened me and said, "Son, you just need to wait a few minutes. Son, you don't need to go there. Son, you need to watch yourself." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because the Holy Spirit knows where I am and knows the future, and He's watching out over me. Hallelujah. So thank God it is a protection of the lion who's seeking whom he may devour, but when he comes toward me, there is a fire around me, amen, that is keeping me safe from the lion. Hallelujah. Amen. Fire also is a comfort. And I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter. How many of you ever just sit in front of a fire and just felt comfortable? That warmth coming out just makes you feel comfortable. You know, the Holy Spirit can just make you feel comfortable right where you are. Amen. See, some people might think that you're not what you think you should be, or some people think you ought to be something else, but I'm so glad that when I go to the Holy Spirit, I said, "What do you think about me?" He says, "You're all right. Hallelujah. You've been washed by the blood. You're all right. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You're all right." Can you say amen? Thank God that I can get away with the Holy Spirit and feel comfortable. Now, some people ain't comfortable when the Holy Spirit's around. You see them squirming. What's going on? I remember I prayed for a couple. I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just laid hands on her. Pastor Fred, she started speaking in tongues full of the Holy Spirit. I prayed for that man for 8 months. I said, "Lord, is it me or him?" And the Lord said, "Look at his life. He walked around like he was Lord and Master. His family had to jump at his word. He was boss and in control." And the Holy Spirit said, "He won't let me be the Lord. He won't let me be the boss." Somebody say amen. So some people don't feel comfortable around the Holy Spirit, because when you get around the Holy Spirit, you have to surrender to the Holy Spirit, and you've got to let Him have His way. But if you'll only realize, man, He'll just make you feel good. Amen. Have you ever came to church and you just didn't feel good, felt like the whole world was against you and nobody liked you, but when you left church, you were saying, "Everything is all right. I've been in the presence of an almighty God and everything is all right." He's a comforter. Secondly, the emblem is that of a dove. The Bible said when Jesus was baptized, Matthew 3:16, when he came straight up out of the water, not when he was sprinkled, when he came up out of the water. Hallelujah. Because he was emerged. Hallelujah. When he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, as a dove, and sat upon him. Look at that picture of that dove. What's that make you think of? Gentleness. How many knows the Holy Spirit can be gentle? He can be a still small voice. Hallelujah. I love it when he comes in like a mighty rushing wind, but it also feels good when he just whispers, "Oh, everything's all right." But the dove represents peace. How many's glad for the peace the Holy Spirit brings? He'll bring you peace in the midst of turmoil. Anybody ever been there when, man, it just felt like you was in the middle of a storm? You didn't know when you was going down or up. Everything looked like it was falling apart. nobody liked you. And those that liked you didn't want to be around you. You didn't even like yourself. But in the midst of all of it, a peace rose up in you. Hallelujah. A peace in the middle of the storm. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that rises up in you, and you just know it's all right. It's okay. I don't care. Nobody likes me. You can take everything I have, but as long as I have Jesus, everything's gonna be all right. Amen. You can take it all. What's the old song says? You take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Everything's gonna be all right. There are times when the Holy Spirit will come like a dove and just bring peace. He'll bring peace when there's problems between people. Some people don't like to go there because they don't want to get rid of the problem. I have a brother, I'm not going to say his name. He might hear this CD. But he was on the outs of the family. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He was on the outs. We were having Thanksgiving at our house, and I'm up teaching about forgiveness, and he wasn't invited. In the middle of it, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You believe what you're teaching?" I said, "Yes, Lord. You ain't living it." And the tears began to flow out of my eyes. And I went home and called all my brothers and sisters, my mom and dad, said, "If you don't like it, he's coming. If you can't come because he's coming, I'm sorry. You're invited and he's invited." Called him on the phone, told him he was invited. He started crying. Somebody say amen. I'm here to tell you, peace, peace in the midst of the storm. He brings peace if we will allow him. Second of all, he'll bring love. How many have ever felt like you wasn't loved? As long as I have my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter, I'm all right. I know they love me. But he'll bring you love. The depth of it, the height of it, and the width of it that cannot be measured. Have you ever just walked in the love of God? Have you ever just had the love of God just overflow in you? Because when that happens, it overflows. I said it overflows. You just begin to love everybody else. Amen. You love people that you never liked before, but you're loving them now. Amen. Love just begins to flow over you when the Holy Spirit's in your life. You see, when the Holy Spirit becomes Lord of the church, there is fire. And there is love, and there is peace, and there is joy, and there is gentleness. Can somebody say amen? We can't pass up these things. Thank God that we shout. Thank God that we dance. Thank God that we run. Thank God that we lift up our hands. But we better have some peace, and we better have some love, and we better have some joy, and we better have some gentleness. Somebody say amen. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, these things come. Next one is wind. You're going to love this one. Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole place or whole house where they were sitting. The word wind or spirit in Acts 2 and 4 literally is pneuma or breath. Breath or pneuma. John 20 and 22, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Oh, I just need to, can I have just a few moments? When God created man, he formed him and he became a body, but there was no life in him. And he breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life. And that word breath there is the same word for spirit. And man became a living soul. Jesus walked on this earth and began to choose and began to pick. And he began to mold and he began to build a body called the church. Are you with me? And then 120 of them was in an upper room. They were a body, but they didn't have that spiritual life. But then he breathed. Then he breathed in them, and the body, the church, became a living organism. Oh, I don't think you're catching this. Became a living body. It became full of life and full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that God wants us to live? He wants us to breathe on us. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. For as the Father has sent me, so I send." And when the breath of the Holy Spirit blows on you, you have to go. You have to be about the Father's business. Amen. You have to be telling somebody. You've got to be going. Can you say amen? Amen. But the wind also is strength. Acts 2 and 2. A mighty, everybody say mighty, rushing wind. Holy Spirit is not a wimp. Have you ever been in them times when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you? I knew I was going to tell this testimony, and it's just happening. It's going to be tonight. I preached a revival. Me and my wife was just married, hadn't been married very long. I preached a revival in Gary, Indiana. Got there, and there was a church there, and they had a basement. All the youth was doing drugs and having sex in the basement while the church service was going on. The Lord showed it to me on Thursday night. Friday night, I preached the first message. And I preached on sin. And God began to reveal things. 25 teenagers gave their heart to the Lord. There was a young man in the church who came with a false name. Said he was someone that he wasn't. He was a drug pusher. Came to the church. He got all the kids hooked on drugs. One young lady was demon-possessed. A man's voice spoke out of her. And said, "Rick Mullins, I know you, and I know your past." Uh-huh. Well, there's some things in my past no one needs to know about. And I went, mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, something hit me. The wind, the mighty rushing wind, began to blow. Hallelujah. I said, "Devil, you might know my past, but I know your future." Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are defeated, and tonight you're coming out, and God set her free. Yeah. Testimony goes on. My wife is a witness to this. We got home. We lived in an apartment. We lived in a building that had four apartments, and we lived up in the right-hand side apartment with an older lady. She used to come home late at night, every night drunk. And you could hear her come in, and was laying in bed, and me and my wife had just prayed, and she had just went to sleep, and I was laying there, and I was thinking about that service, Elder Curtis. I was thinking about, I've got to preach, man. I've got to tell other young people. We've got to rescue these young people. The devil's after. All of a sudden, I heard the lady next door's door open and shut. Then I heard across my living room floor, through my dining room, and I thought, someone is in our house. Just as I got to look up, I looked over, and standing in the doorway of our bedroom, about this tall, was a demon who ran and jumped on my chest, pinned me down, and said, "You will not preach it." I remember trying to take my head and pound a pillow to wake up Sister Rita. I needed help. And all of a sudden, the mighty rushing wind began to blow. Hallelujah. I remember sitting there going, I couldn't say it loud. I just said, "Jesus." And then I saw fear come on his face. And then I said a little bit louder, "Jesus." Hallelujah. And the bigger fear came upon him. And then I hollered, "Jesus." And he jumped off me and fell on the floor. Then I jumped up, hollered, "Jesus." Man, he was out of there. My wife woke up. I was in the middle floor rejoicing and praising God. I want you to know there is power in the Holy Ghost. There is strength. He said, "I will give you power. I will give you authority after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. upon you, you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents. None which shall harm you, you shall cast out devils. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. There is power. He gives you a strength. He does not come upon you for you to allow the devil to tear up your family. He does not come upon you for you to allow the devil to take your finances. I'm here to tell you, he gives you strength to tell the devil, get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my finances. Get your hands off my marriage. Hallelujah. Because the mighty rushing wind will blow. The next one is oil. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. And it is true, and it is not a lie. And just as it is taught you, you abide in him. The oil represents anointing. Anointing, fall on me. Whew. Anointing. A prophet came to a man's house, said, God sent me here to anoint somebody, one of your sons. He went out and got his sons and brought him in. He looked at the first one. He was big, strong, handsome looking. He said, surely this is it. God said, I have not chosen this thing. Didn't even call him a person, called him a thing. Went to the next, haven't chosen this thing neither. Got through all of them. He turned around and said, you got anyone else? He said, I've got a little boy out here keeping my flock. He said, you got to go get him. When the little boy came in, God said, that's the one. He took a horn of oil and broke it, and it poured all over him, and he anointed him. That's a great story. But let us go into the future a little bit. Dad said, son, come here. I want you to take these biscuits and gravy. I want you to go feed your brothers who were up there in battle. The little boy, but there was something about him. Hallelujah. He just wasn't a little boy. He was anointed. I said he just wasn't a little boy. He was anointed. Amen. And the anointed one came up, and all of a sudden he looked out in the field, and there stood a giant out there. And the giant was saying, send me out your champion. And if he beats me, we'll serve your God. If we beat him, you serve us. And all of the soldiers were hiding. The brothers were down hiding. That's why God didn't choose them. Hallelujah. They were hiding down and they were scared. And David came up and he said, what's going on? And they told him, and he said, I'll fight him. He stood up and looked over the field and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he thinks he could stand against the armies of the Lord? Hallelujah. I'll fight him. They took him to Saul's tent. He said, I'll fight. Saul looked at him and said, you're a boy. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was the anointed one. Saul put on his armor. David said, I haven't proven this stuff. Kicked it off. Walked out into the field, looking up at the giant. The giant said, am I a dog? You'd send a little boy out to me. I'm going to cut you up, feed you to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. David said, you come with a spear and a sword, but I come in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then he said, listen what he said. He said, listen, God has already delivered you into my hands. You just don't know it yet. Hallelujah. What was it? The anointing. Thank God for the anointing. Listen what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Don't you know you're anointed to set at liberty them that are bound? You're anointed. The oil keeps the fire burning. Matthew 25:3-5. You know the story, the 10 virgins. They ran out of oil. The fire went out. Listen to me, Evangel Church of God. When the Holy Spirit is not welcome here, the fire is going out. Let me tell you, when we become too dignified to let the Holy Spirit move, the fire's going out. Amen. If we get so big that we think we're above it, the fire's going out. We need to keep the oil. Then it brings an unction. The word anointing means unction. Unction to function. When I was a young boy and I would hear pastors say, I feel the anointing. I didn't know what they were talking about. Boy, I do now. Because I feel the anointing. Hallelujah. Just something comes over you. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget standing in front of 2,000 people in Haiti going, oh my God. Going to camp meeting and standing in front of all pastors and ministers going, oh my God. Some of you might not know this. In my office, there's butterflies as big as birds. But something happens when the anointing comes. Hallelujah. Something happens when the unction happens. My Lord, it wouldn't matter to me if the president himself was in this place. I'd still preach, amen, because I feel the unction to function. Somebody say amen. When the anointing comes in, it moves beyond your fears. It moves beyond your problems and your failures. And it unctions you to do what God's called you to do. Lastly, new wine. Matthew 9 and 17. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. I heard someone say one time, we need to belly up to the bar and drink the new wine. Amen. First of all, it is intoxicating. Acts 2 and 15. These men are not drunk as you think. He didn't say they weren't drunk. They're not drunk like you think they are. Have you ever been drunk in the spirit? Man, you just, whoo, hallelujah. Glory, praise God. You can't walk straight. If you drove home, they'd pull you over for drunk driving. Have you ever been there? Let me tell you something. When they were there, something was happening to cause the people to think they were drunk. I've been around drunk people. Before my father was saved, he was an alcoholic. And over 40 years ago, he got saved and never drank another drop. But I've been around them. They just happy. They give you money. Nothing bothers them. They're just happy, laughing, thrilled. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Holy Spirit wants you to get to the place where nothing's bothering you anymore. Amen. You're just going right through it. Praise the Lord. Well, I know that Korea might be building the atomic bomb, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about blowing up. I'm looking forward to going up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not worried about what's going on in Iraq. God still holds it all in His hands. Can you say amen? You just get that place where you just don't care anymore, and that's being drunk in the Holy Spirit. And then also, it is refreshing. John 2 and 10, Jesus had went to a wedding and they ran out of wine. He turned the water into wine. Key thing was that water was for the washing of the feet. It was dirty, nasty water. But he turned it into the best wine. Aren't you glad God turned you into something better than you were? Amen. Amen. But the head of the feast says, most people give the best wine at first. Then when people get intoxicated, then they bring out the bad stuff. You save the very best for last. Have you ever been refreshed by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Just the Holy Spirit just come in and just refresh you. You just came to the bar and you just drank of the Holy Spirit and you just begin to feel good. Your wineskin was just full of new wine. Somebody say amen. And you just felt wonderful. Everything was all right. Everything is good. It don't matter. Amen. New wine. Listen to what the Bible says. He has called me to the banqueting table. His banner over me is love. The word banqueting literally means intoxication. He's just getting me drunk on him. Hallelujah. I'm just getting drunk. I'm just getting silly on God and full of the Holy Spirit. See, it's important for the Holy Spirit to take over you. Listen, church, we need the new wine. We need the intoxication, the refreshing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What do they call it? I just was driving down the street, and you know, I'm still finding out things in this area. I'm driving down the street, and I see a sub place right over here, Quiznos. Right next to it was a place, and it said, Happy Hour. Happy Hour. Yeah. I was raised in church. Never been to a happy hour. But the people who were coming out didn't look all that happy. You want to know when happy hour is? 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Happy hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And guess what? Guess what? Jesus Christ said, and the drink's on me. Amen. Hallelujah. All that you want, you can come and get it and get filled and refreshed with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Some churches ain't happy hour. One famous line, I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians. Testimony time. Well, fought the devil all day. But glory to God, I drugged myself to church. That ain't happy hour. Man, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. We had a little lady that came to our church in New Jersey. And she would always, every service, give this testimony. I'm praising and thanking God for my pastor and the first lady. I'm praising and thanking God for waking me up this morning. I'm praising and thanking God for opening my eyes and I could see a new sunrise. I'm praising and thanking God because I could breathe. I'm praising and thanking God that I could speak. I'm praising and thanking God that I threw my feet off of that bed and was able to walk. I'm praising and thanking God for a fresh new day. I'm praising and thanking God for feeling the cool warm breeze on me. And I'm praising and thanking God for a made up mind that heaven's my home and I'm going to make it. Hallelujah! I'm here to tell you, it needs to be happy hour. Glory to God. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Don't know, don't care. I know one who's able to take care of it all. I said, I know one who's able to take care of it all. I'm going to close with this. Listen, lady was a Sunday school teacher. True story. She got a sore on her nose. They took her to the doctors and found out she had leprosy. They took her to South America to a leprosy colony. Church prayed for her. Her husband would come to church and pray. Pastor went down after 1 year to visit her. Walked in and she had a scarf around her face because leprosy had taken her nose and her top lip all the way off. He said, sis, how are you? She said, oh, praise the Lord. Pastor, isn't God good? Isn't he wonderful? And he said, sis, are you kidding? You're in a leprosy colony. You have leprosy. She said, come here. Let me show you something. She went out. There was about 300 kids. She said, in your church, I taught 18. Look at my Sunday school class. I'm teaching them about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm teaching them. Let me tell you something. Some of us just take this too far. Get over it. You're a child of God. He washed your sins away. Your name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to be happy. It needs to be happy hour. You need to come and rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, my. Stand with me. Stand with me.